Welcome to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells, and I'm here with...
You're here with Jared.
Well,
welcome. Oh, hey.
Welcome back.
It's good to be back.
We missed you last week. It was fun to have Jack here. It's nice to have your boss with you once in a while, especially when you get along so well.
Yeah.
And that was fun, but we missed you. Everything okay?
Things are good this week, yeah.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. So, we're going to try to make that phone call and get that gentleman on
yes.
the phone. I was doing a seed search. There was this greenhouse right at the end of my street that I loved. It was called Variety Growers, and they'd been there forever, and they were pretty big operation. They provided a lot of the annual material, both vegetables and ornamentals, plus some other things as well. They had a beautiful selection of orchids and tropicals, and it was a really great little spot. And we looked over one day within the last year, and the place was gone. Just gone. They, in a very short period of time, they just completely devastated the place, just knocked it down. And now it's... building is going up that I don't know what it was. I thought it was supposed to be senior housing, but it looks more like a jail. I don't know what it is. This big, ugly, doesn't seem to have any windows. Maybe it's storage. I don't know. But so Variety Growers is gone. Nobody really knows what happened to them. And the one plant that I used to get from them, which made me very happy, was my popcorn plant. And it's a buttered popcorn plant. So it's not an edible corn plant. It is an amazing flowering plant that gets these spikes of yellow flowers that when you rub the leaves of the plant, it smells like buttered popcorn. It smells like buttered popcorn. That's what it smells like. There's just no two ways about it. So I've been trying to find seeds for this. And when I grew it... The last time I grew it, I couldn't figure out it didn't seem to make seeds. So I don't know. I only had one plant, so I don't know if it needed cross-pollination or something, but I couldn't figure out where the seeds were. So I was completely confused. I didn't save any seed. And so I, you know, began my search. And I came across this charming gentleman who had a plant for sale that looked like my plant. But in the world of plants, common names and botanical names sometimes are confusing, and so I wanted to make sure it was the right one, so I called him. And his name is Raphael, and he owns a company called Florida Seeds, and we had a blast on the phone. And so we've got him on the air, right?
So, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. How are you?
Well, actually, to be perfectly honest, well, I am really fine. I was up until 1 o'clock in the morning finishing a series of books that was 15 books long. One of them was about 400 pages, and the rest of them were between 800 and 900 pages. And I finished it at 1 o'clock in the morning, and we lost an hour's sleep. Yep. So I'm a little spacey, Raphael. I am a little spacey. It had a good ending. It did, thank goodness, yeah. After all that. And they started to make it into a TV series, so that's part of the reason why I picked it up and started to read it again after all these years. And I never read the last three books, so it was great. Mm-hmm. But I'm a space cadet this morning, so you're just going to have to
That's fine. You know what? You're not the only one, because actually I went to sleep last night and I woke up at like 1 o'clock this morning, and I was up for most of the time because I have to do this, and which is new to me. And so yeah, I'm a little sleepy too.
Yeah. So
that's fine. You're not the only one.
Well, I'm glad of that. So anyway, my first most important question is: did you find my buttered popcorn seeds?
Amazingly, yes, I did.
Oh, yes, yay! Okay, great. Oh, that's very exciting. Yeah. Okay. So how did you get into this business? Tell me about your company.
Okay, my company. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm originally from Teaneck, New Jersey. I moved down to Florida to go to the University of Florida to get a degree in botany. So I have a background in plants. and that's my passion, basically. I started this, actually, it's really kind of funny. It was completely random. I also do artwork. I do botanical artwork, and that's what I did at UF. I've done, like, illustrations of plants for journals and the book and things like that. But how I started this, it's really funny. This is also funny because I tried selling my artwork online, and I really did not get too much with that. So I didn't really think I could sell anything at all, ever.
You were discouraged? The first time you were discouraged?
I didn't think I could sell anything. You have to
send me some images of your art. I want to see.
I can do that, and they're actually now on my store's website in a gallery called Botanical Art. I thought of that, so they're there. But I'll send some to you too. Oh, okay. So what I decided to do was I decided to try to sell some seeds online, and again, I didn't think I could. But there's a tree that's growing on the University of Florida's campus. It's an unusual tree. It's an American sycamore, which is a native tree, but has a very special background. That particular tree was grown from a seed that was launched on an Apollo rocket and flew around the moon in orbit and back to the Earth.
Okay.
And now it's a large tree. So I was thinking, well, that might be something. Maybe somebody might be interested in buying. So I went to eBay and I made a listing for it and see if I could sell some. And amazingly, I actually sold some. So, which I couldn't believe. I was like, I can't believe it. I sold something. So I decided, well, you know what? I need like a little more money. So maybe there are some other things that I other types of plants that I could sell. And around here in Florida, there are all kinds of things all year round. There are such a great variety of plants and seeds. So I started collecting a few more and listing a few more. And I started selling a few more. So basically, that's how it started. And I was able to sell more and more and more and learn more and more about how to sell and how to do things. And that's how the company started. I wasn't even planning on starting a company or doing anything. So, it's amazing.
Well, and, life can be very serendipitous.
That's true. Yeah, it absolutely can. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
So tell me about, how do people find you if they're interested in weird seeds? How do people find you?
Okay. I have a website, and I also sell on eBay, Amazon, and Etsy. And the name, my website is on Etsy, and I'll give you the name. It's Florida Seeds at myshopify.com.
Okay.
That's the easiest way to find it.
So
yeah.
I'm on that site. Okay. I have that site up on my, but I can't find your art. Where would I look for your art?
I will tell you. Okay. Can you go to the homepage?
I'm on the homepage.
Okay. There should be a top. There should be galleries, and I'm checking to make sure it's a tier. I have to. it didn't show up yet.
Okay. So it's not me. It's not me. Okay.
Okay. No, it's not you. There's another way you can get here. I will put the link up later. But if you go to the search bar, search for botanical prints. You should be able to find all the stuff there, and I'm going to try it, too. Or I'm just going to type in prints. Okay, I found it. Just type in prints. It'll give you a listing of them. There's some colored stuff, some black and white stuff, and it's 5 pages. So I was able to just bring it up.
Okay, I like the second one. I like the second one. The blue background
that one,
with
yeah.
wildflowers.
Yeah,
it's got purple flowers. It's got purple flowers. Oh,
yep,
very cool.
Yeah. The purple one, that's the flowers of a pawpaw tree. Do you happen to know what that is?
A pawpaw? Sure. I've grown pawpaw trees.
Awesome. It's one of my favorite plants. I love them. I sell lots of them. Yeah. That is a great thing. Did you know what?
There used to be, I don't know if it still exists, an organization promoting pawpaws that were actually selecting seed from desirable trees and naming them as cultivars and selling them. Are you familiar with that?
I think it's from the University of Kentucky. I'm pretty sure that's what you're talking about. There might be more than one, but this one's well-known. I remember because they did a lot of breeding and promoting it and making cultivars. So I would imagine, and I think it's around. So I'd imagine that's probably the one that you're talking about. That's the main one.
I grew some of them at my farm where I was there for 25 years. And someone mm-hmm. Coming up on May 14th is my plant exchange. Which we have at my place. And last year we did it, and people had left me some pawpaw trees, so I have planted some new ones. They're just, from seed, but there, I have like a wooded area, and they're kind of good yeah. plants for along the edge of the woods. So that's where I planted right. them. So yes, I am very familiar with them. But this is a this is of the ones I've quickly glanced through. I really love purple is my favorite color.
In fact, oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, Jared. What did you say to me when I walked in here?
I said you're very purple today.
Yes, you see, that's what he said.
Oh wow,
it's true.
Really?
Yes, so yeah. Purple is my favorite. That's my. I really like that piece. So, have you sold any since you put them on your website?
I have actually. I've sold the prints. I don't sell the originals because they take too long to do it, and I like them, so I don't want to sell them. But yes, I've sold prints of them, and actually, I don't know if I have these up for sale, but actually, I do. I have them. The prints are for sale, and I can do them in different sizes. I can even sign them. I think I usually do when I sell. Yeah, I have sold a few of them.
Okay, so that must have helped. That must have made you feel a little better.
It really did. Yes, it really did. I was surprised. I was like, I don't believe this. I've actually sold some stuff. Yes, some paintings. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I'm glad, and I really do like that one. Okay. So tell me some of the. You found my buttered popcorn seeds. So that's
yeah.
awesome. So really, because I'm very excited about that. I started some seeds in the greenhouse this past week. So it's time for us back in as being a Jersey boy. You know, now is the time when things are getting started. So I started my broccoli, my cauliflower, and I started some stevia seed. So I'm going to try.
Oh, really?
I'm going to try to grow some stevia and see if I can make that work.
Okay.
And and Thursday is St. Patrick's Day, which is March 17th, which in New Jersey is official pea planting day. So that's I got to get my peas in the ground. Now, I can also do any onion sets if I want to do them. I'm not sure I'm going to bother with them, but spinach. You can do spinach. At that same time. So I've been working on the compost pile to get all the soil ready so that I can and I cleaned up the vegetable garden a bit so that I where I want to put the peas. So things are really getting going here. It's even though you may not be aware, we had a snowstorm last night.
No, I was not aware of that, really.
Yeah, we did. It was a little disturbing. I mean, it wasn't too bad where I am, but but we were supposed to have dinner with some of our closest friends, and they were snowed in.
Mm-hmm.
They were there from...
Really? How much snow did you get?
Well, we only got like a coating of an icy snow, which made me very nervous because, you know, I have to come in early. I have to drive like an hour to get here.
Yeah.
I was a little worried about that. But the main roads weren't bad. But they had, you know, quite a bit of icy snow, and they're on a hill in a mountain area.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get together for dinner with them last night. And I had a lasagna and everything. I made a lasagna.
Oh, that's a shame.
But Jared. Hey Jared, but what about the lasagna?
Oh,
So I brought it.
I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Look at your radio right now. I'm gonna. Oh man, I can't wait to tear into this.
So Jared got the benefit of that because I brought him some lasagna this morning. But
that's got to be great.
So
I haven't had homemade lasagna in a long time. Yeah.
Oh well, it's my specialty. It is. It's one of my favorite
things.
Oh. And when I cook Italian, I can. Get my husband to do anything when he walks in the kitchen.
When he walks
in the kitchen and he says it smells just like Nana's house. That's his grandmother. Oh, it's like this look on his face. I can pretty much get anything I want at that moment. So.
Oh, I believe it. That's like an incredible compliment too.
So
that's when you ask for expensive jewelry.
I will keep that in mind. So we need to get stuff going. So I'm very excited that you found these seeds for me. And other people will be interested in starting some weird seeds. So tell us, Raphael, what else have you got that's kind of out there and weird?
Okay, let's see. I've got all kinds of things. I've got a lot of tropicals and some stuff that grow up there. Let's see. I have something called a chocolate vine. It is a nice vine. It's really pretty. It has nice little five segmented leaves and little very, you would like this. It has these small, rich, deep purple flowers, and it gets lots of them. And the flowers have this incredible perfumey smell. Reminds me of, I don't know, like fabric softener. Sounds kind of odd. It smells like an artificial smell, but they're really nice. And it has these large edible fruits, and that would be one thing. I also have seeds of something called a sausage tree.
Wait. Sausage tree? What does it produce that it got the name sausage tree?
it produces these huge 2-foot brown fruits that look just like sausages, and they're literally 1 to 2 feet long.
Really?
Yeah. And yes, and this thing's incredible. The plant, this tree, it actually produces very long flower clusters that hang down from the branches on these long rope-like stems. And at the bottom of those stems are clusters of flowers that kind of look like a candelabra, of all things. And the flowers are about, I don't know, 3-4 inches wide, and they're a very deep, rich, maroony, purplish-reddish color. And they're pollinated by bats at night. So the tree blooms at night. And then when...
It's bat-pollinated?
It's bat-pollinated,
okay,
yeah.
So, all right, so here's a question. Does it release, yeah. Does it have an odor, a nice smell that it releases at night?
It does. It has sort of, I wouldn't really call it nice. It's not really unpleasant, but it's not really sweet. It's sort of, bat-pollinated flowers generally have odd smells. Sort of like fermented fruit. Now, that's what this one is a little bit like. They're not really perfumey, but a lot of bats, they often eat like fermented fruit that's on the ground, like tropical fruit bats, that's what pollinates them. But it does have a scent. It's unusual. That's what I would describe it as.
And is it tree-like, vine-like,
it's,
bush-like?
It's a tree. It's a regular tree. Yeah.
Really? And it's hardy up here?
Oh, no, it isn't. Yeah. Okay. This is one thing I want to... Yes, I know. Yeah. Nope. Well, if you live in Miami, you can grow it there. Yeah, I'm trying to find... I have some things that are hardy. That particular one I wanted to mention just because it's so unusual. But I do have things that are hardy. But that thing, the fruits hang on the tree on these long stems. So basically you have this regular tree, and it has these long things that look like ropes, and at the end are these like 1 to 2 foot sausage-like fruits. It's absolutely bizarre. But I do have seeds of it.
Okay, yeah. Well, it does sound bizarre. Could it? Here's a question: could it be grown in a container?
It can, but it can be grown as a houseplant, but it probably wouldn't flower because it has to get larger, unfortunately. But you can grow it as a sample, so you can actually have it. But yeah, it wouldn't flower in a container. Let's see. I do have something called a butterfly pea, and that is perfectly hardy. Isn't that unusual? It's pretty. It's a wildflower that grows in the southeast, and these really nice bright pink flowers. And I sell it, and it's just a little wildflower that grows around here, and a lot of people buy it, and a lot of people really like it. And something that's not normally sold anywhere. People just don't bother with it. Oh, here's another one that is hardy. The wild poinsettia. Okay, now, sure you're familiar with the poinsettia. I think Rutgers has a program where they breed new types of poinsettias. I think they may.
Well, they may have in the past. I don't know if they do now, but that's certainly
right,
there's a lot of poinsettia production in New Jersey. So
that's right. Yeah. Well, there is actually a hardy poinsettia. It is called the wild poinsettia, and it's another southern southeastern little wildflower. And when I'd never heard of it before. And when I first moved down here, most of the year, along the roads, there are all kinds of, like, you know, different plants and weeds and everything, and this was one of them. It's really common. It grows in, like, lots of areas. It's low maintenance, and it's a plant maybe 1 to 3 feet tall and has these sort of violin-shaped leaves, which are kind of unusual. But when it flowers, the flower clusters, the bases of the leaves have this really brilliant orange-red spot on it, so it really stands out. And I had never seen this thing before. I'd never heard of it, but it was really common. It grew everywhere. And so I looked it up, and I found out what it was called. And it turned out it's a native wildflower. It's perfectly hardy. You can grow it up where you are. You can grow it. It can be grown as an annual or as a pot, and it gets lots of seeds. So,
well, I'm looking at the picture on your website of it, and it certainly is reminiscent of the Christmas poinsettia, but it's also different. But you can see the connection, but it's the colors are vivid between the green and the red, but it looks like the leaves themselves are different colors.
Yeah, some of them are. They're multicolored. I think some of them, they have like a pale band in between the green and the orangey red. And there's variety. They can be variable. But you know what? The cultivated poinsettia, that plant's originally from Mexico. The wild plants, the leaves aren't as bright red and solid as the cultivated ones. So the way this plant has only part of the leaf colored, a lot of the wild poinsettia plants in Mexico are like that. But that plant's like a big shrub in the wild. So, but it's like a little wild native relative that's sort of, you know, related to it. Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. So people can go to your website and they can see mm-hmm. all these things. And I'm like flipping around through here. And mm-hmm. There are some really cool, interesting things. Tell me, what is this coral bean thing?
That's very popular. That is another native wildflower. It is in the bean family, and it has bright red tubular flowers that are pollinated by hummingbirds. And down here in Florida, it's really common. It's very durable, and it grows in really kind of harsh places. It grows in woods and really sandy places that are hot and dry, and that can take water and everything. And basically, in the spring and summer, it gets these long clusters with these brilliant red flowers. And this is another thing. It's very easy to grow. It's native, and you can grow it up where you are. It's not, I don't think it's hardy where you are, but you can grow it
as an annual.
And you can also, it would be ideal to grow in a pot, and you can just bring it in the winter. It'll be fine, so it can get bigger. And then you bring it outdoors during the summer, you know, during the warm weather, and it should get some flowers. And it produces these spikes right up from the ground. And the interesting thing about this plant is that the group of plants that it's in, most of the plants, most of its relatives are tropical trees. There are lots and lots of flowering tropical trees in this group, and they have brilliant red or orange flowers. This thing is actually a native herbaceous form of it, and it's not really even herbaceous. It's in South Florida, it grows as a small tree, but as you go farther north in Florida, the freezes kill it off, so it sprouts up from the roots. So it can be grown as a perennial, and it can grow as an annual, maybe in a pot where you are. So in the area where I am, mostly it's a perennial. Some of the stems might get a little bit woody, but the freezes usually kill them off. Down in Central Florida, which is just a couple of hours south of where I am, it actually grows as a small tree, and it looks much different. And that's just the difference of how, like, you know, just a little bit of frost can do. And it's another, I mean, it's really kind of odd because in New Jersey, you don't have that. We're like one part of the state, something will grow as an herbaceous plant. And another part of the state, it'll actually be a woody tree with a trunk and everything. And it also has like some spines on it. Oh, and it's called the coral bean because it has these, after flowers, it produces these bean pods that are brown. And inside those bean pods are some seeds, and the seeds are smooth and a brilliant red. And they're very colorful and very ornamental. So that's why it's called a coral bean.
Well, it looks really like a really interesting plant. I would be curious to try to grow some of that in a container or possibly as a grow. I'm always trying to find new garden plants, something that's kind of different or unusual. And I like the looks of mm-hmm. this one, and I like the color. It's definitely, from the pictures, it's kind of a pinky or an orangey pink.
Actually, it's a brilliant red. I know what you mean. Those pictures, some of them look like kind of off, but it's pretty much generally like a pure red. And
really?
Yeah, it doesn't always show up that. Yeah, it doesn't show up that well in the photographs. Let me see. It's actually a very just a solid red, brilliant. Although, actually, some of them may be a little bit pinkish, and I think the stems can be a little bit pinkish. But it's pretty much a brilliant red, and it really stands out. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been fun, Raphael. We need to take a break now, so I'm going to let you go. Okay. But why don't you tell everybody again where your website is, and so that people can look, and if they want to find some cool stuff, they can, you know, wander around your website. So why don't you give that information one more time?
Okay. It is floridaseeds@myshopify.com, and we also sell on eBay, Etsy, and Amazon.
Okay.
And we're located in Florida.
You want to give a phone number in case anybody wants to call?
Yeah, please. Yeah, the phone number is 352-328-0167. And we do have a lot of other unusual hardy plants that do grow where you are, but I don't have time to get to them, like the Dutchman's pipe and others. And yeah, a lot of other hardy, interesting things, too.
Well, people will be able to find some of this stuff on your website, and maybe when you come across something else new, cool, and totally weird, you'll let me know, and we can get you back on the air. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I'd love to do that.
Okay. Well, this was fun, and I will be in touch with you about getting those buttered popcorn seeds, and good luck with this spring season, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
All right.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye now. Okay, well, that was fun. Raphael is, we just hit it off on the phone when I was talking to him about the buttered popcorn seeds. All right, but now we have TJ. Good morning, TJ.
Good morning. How are you?
I don't know if you turned in at the very beginning of the show. I'm fine, but I was up until 1 o'clock in the morning finishing my 15th book in a series. It had a great ending, but we lost an hour's sleep, so I'm a little fuzzy, but I'm okay.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a rough morning for us at the farm, too. Between the bitter cold and the time change, it kind of threw us off a little bit. But everybody's here, the sun is shining, and it looks like this week is going to be spring-like, which is brings me to my next point, because I wish I had more time on the phone, but I don't. I just wanted to call in and let everybody know that next weekend, I believe that's the 19th. I'm sure Jared could verify that. I think it's next Saturday is the 19th.
Yep.
But we are kicking off our retail market opening spring sale next week. We'll have a light selection of bedding plants. Obviously, I think right now the only thing that's real hardy if we do get another frost is pansies, which I'm sure you will remind your listeners of what's good and what's not so great to put in right now. And a light selection of hanging baskets. Now's the time to load up on all your spring pots and your soil for transplanting if you have stuff in the greenhouse like you do. But I wanted to call and let everybody know that we will be open next Saturday and Sunday. Sunday 10 to 2. Saturday will probably open around 8:30 till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We have moved the big Katona Farms farm truck that you worked so hard on for us up front. So we'll have a lot of spring pots on display, some new pots, some used pots, trying to recycle some stuff and have some more budget-friendly stuff for everybody during this bit of a rough stretch here with fuel prices. So naturally, the cost of everything is up. But we'll be open. We'll have a light selection of produce that'll carry us over into April when we start with Jersey's Fresh Asparagus. It's been a pleasure the last few years to have probably close to 20 of your listeners sprinkle in, whether it's pumpkin season or asparagus season, or just come down to take a ride on a Sunday afternoon. So we really appreciate the airtime that you and Jared have given us over the years.
Well, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to Jersey Fresh Asparagus. It's one of my favorites, so that'll be good. I remember Kira used to feed it to Jake under the table, but
she's been more keen to it in recent years. But, you know, when you're getting fresh asparagus from Katona Farms in Chesterfield, as you know, one of the top producers in the state as far as quantity, and then even more importantly and more amazingly, quality, that's a hard combination to come by in the agriculture in this state. But as you've known for a number of years in the industry yourself, it's a great product coming out of New Jersey.
It certainly is. It's one of my favorites. I'm really looking forward to it. And yes, pansies. I have a bunch of containers in the Garden of Ancient Ruins and in a few other places that I want to fill with pansies so that they're looking good for the plant exchange. Because May 14th is a little early to be putting a bunch of annuals in or have them look like anything. You know, when you first stick them in the ground, it takes a little while for them to kind of perk up and look like something. So I really want to have all those containers filled with pansies so that they're looking lovely for the plant exchange. So definitely I'm going to need some of those. And I also want to, not right away, but, you know, this week I want to get my peas in, of course. But I also want to try to grow from seed this year some cosmos, which I have a bed in the front that has a bunch of perennials in it that produce yellow flowers in the spring. But I want to have that same bed with cosmos in it for the whole summer. So I want to get that seed down pretty early as well. So there's a bunch of things that can be done soon. And again, you know, this week is time to get started planting. In spite of the ridiculous weather that we had last night and today, it is really time to get going. So, and put mulch down and clean up things and get rid of the leaves and all that. Oh, I took down those lychee tomatoes this week, the plants from last year.
I imagine that was a bit of a project to get those down.
It was unbelievable. I think I ruined a pair of leather work gloves. The spines were so nasty, and so it became so woody that the spines would break off in my gloves, and actually, I was actually bleeding from the spines through the work gloves. And I couldn't find them in the leather to get them all out. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to salvage those gloves. But they were nasty, nasty. And they had deep root systems. I had a hard time. I had to dig them out. Usually by this time, you go out in the garden and anything from last year, you grab it, you pull it, it comes out. These were had very extensive root systems. Very impressive plants. I would never grow them again. But they were very impressive. You could, they'd make a good... fence kind of thing to keep animals out because they were the thorns were so and they got very woody, really, really woody, far more so than a regular tomato plant. So it was an interesting experience pulling them out. It was an interesting experience growing them last year, but that's where I want to put my peas. So they had to come out. So I also cleaned up the compost pile and got it all the stuff on the top raked off and onto the new pile so that I exposed all the, that really good compost so that I can amend the soil. And I'm going to do that this week so it'll be in really good shape for planting. So there's a lot going on. And I guess, you know, all of a sudden it's spring. You know, we're waiting and waiting and waiting and boom, here it is.
Here it is. It's time to get everything ready to go and, you know, I will see you hopefully in the next week or two. I will be down with literally a trailer load of goodies. As you know, I will be bringing mulch and whatever else I could jam in the trailer for you, whether it's more straw or more compost or bedding plants, because I know you're eager to get going in the garden, and I'm eager to get that stuff to you before we get busy, and I've been in contact with our grower. This year we have scaled back significantly, so we have somebody doing our subseeding for us, which is kind of a nice break because normally we're running around panicking to keep the greenhouses running and this and that and make sure we're on time with everything else. But we're just toning it down a few notches this year and going to focus on our hay operations. But we'll be open for retail. And I look forward to seeing you guys in a few weeks with fresh asparagus. And obviously I'll be sending asparagus along for Mr. Jared because I know it's one of his favorites too.
Well, he got some lasagna today, so he's a happy boy.
All right, so we're starting with lasagna. In a few weeks, we'll be with moving on to asparagus, and then by the summer, we'll be into the tomatoes and sweet corn, and we'll basically be keeping him fed all summer.
Well, that's good. That's good. Jared likes to eat. Is that correct, Jared?
I do. What do I say every 10 minutes on the show, I'm hungry?
Yeah, pretty much, something like that.
Yeah. All right. He's also our radio sound guy and engineer and superhero behind the glass for most of your listeners who don't know. Jared is old, reliable, and never fails. So it's more than worth the extra time out in the field to grab a few more sprigs of that Jersey asparagus for Jared.
All right, honey. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. There are people that call in, by the way, and say how happy they are to get a farm report to know what's going on in the farm community. So thank you for supplying that, and we will talk to you soon.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon, and I look forward to being on the air in a few weeks, as always, as we do in the spring towards the beginning of summer.
Okay.
Otherwise, have a great rest of the show, and I will catch up with you this week.
Okay.
Alrighty?
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
We need to take a little break. Okay, I'm going to give the phone number, 545-9282, outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282, and we'll be back after this.
And now, the Fox Sports New Jersey weather forecast. The morning sun will mix with arriving afternoon clouds, becoming milder today into the mid and upper 40s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a shower after midnight near 40. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a few showers, especially morning through midday, becoming breezy and warmer Sunday, 65 to near 70. I'm WeatherWorks meteorologist John Leo on Fox Sports New Jersey.
23 degrees in Central Jersey.
Listen to Fox Sports New Jersey everywhere.
Everywhere.
Online at foxsportsradionewjersey.com. On the Fox Sports New Jersey app. And now on Odyssey.
When you need a plumber, you gotta call the Russo Brothers for friendly service on the go. Call 1-800-MR-RUSSO.
For over 65 years, you've trusted Russo Brothers for quality repairs, service, and installation for your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. When you call 1-800-MR-RUSSO, you'll see why all plumbers are not alike. You'll speak to a live person, not voicemail. And when you call Russo Brothers, you'll get a precise appointment window. Call 1-800-MR-RUSSO or or visit 1-800-MR-RUSSO.com. How about that old boiler in your home? If you're ready for a new system, call Russo Brothers for professional installation on all makes and models. Call Russo Brothers Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning now. 800-MR-RUSSO. 800-MRRUSSO.
Call 1-800-MR-RUSSO.
Or on the web at 1-800-MR-RUSSO.com.
Ellery's in Middlesex is your destination for New Jersey's best St. Paddy's Day celebrations. So throw on some green and get to Ellery's. Sunday, March 13th is Somerville Parade Day. Follow the crowd to Ellery's and enjoy an awesome Irish menu, great drink specials, and live Irish music from Jeff McGurb and DJ Blast, with bagpipers too. Then on Tuesday, March 15th, it's a celebration of Ellery's 25th anniversary. Stop by for Fighting 69 Irish Whiskey and Guinness and pair it with great Irish food. Plus, check out a live acoustic performance of Irish music by Ryan Flannery and DJ Pudge and bagpipers. And on the big day, Thursday, March 17th, enjoy a traditional Irish menu at Ellery's with the bagpipers throughout the day. Plus, at 6 p.m., it's live Irish music. So get in the spirit, raise a glass, order up Ellery's Irish nachos made with homemade potato chips and smothered in a Guinness cheese sauce. And sham rock and roll to some awesome live entertainment. That's Ellery's, your lucky charm this St. Patrick's Day. 701 Lincoln Boulevard in Middlesex and online at ellerysgrill.com.
The perfect home deserves a magnificent mortgage, and Magyar Bank has the perfect housewarming gift for you. They'll give you a $1,000 credit at closing for approved mortgages with Magyar Bank. Choose from their flexible terms to find the mortgage that fits your needs. Their mortgage professionals are with you every step of the way, and their online application is easy to use so you can apply in just minutes. Visit magbank.com today to apply for a mortgage from Magyar Bank and learn how you could get a $1,000 credit at closing. The perfect home. Don't dream it, live it with a mortgage from Magyar Bank. Visit magbank.com for their current rates and to apply today. Magyar Bank. Simply magnificent for 100 years. Visit magbank.com today. Offer subject to credit approval. Magyar Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Magyar Bank, Magyar Bank, working together as one. Magbank.com.
If you've been having a hard time finding a new or pre-owned car, there's no need to stress any longer. Crystal Mazda has a wide selection of cars and SUVs arriving daily for their Spring into Savings event. You'll get great deals on a certified pre-owned Mazda. And at Crystal, there are no additional dealer prep fees included. So you'll get a great selection that not only fits your needs, but your budget too. Why pay more than you have to? They even have no money down options, outstanding service, and some of the highest trade-in values around. So what are you waiting for? Don't miss Crystal Mazda's Spring into Savings event while supplies last. Call, click, or stop by today. Crystal Mazda always has and always will make sure their customers get the deals and the service they deserve. At Crystal Mazda, you'll get great savings guaranteed. Crystal Mazda, Route 22 West, Greenbrook, or crystalmazda.com. Come see why the difference is crystal clear. See dealer for details.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. there's a note on here that says, please repeat website address. Was that for me?
If we can repeat Raphael's website.
Florida Seeds, one word. Mm-hmm. And then I just searched for it under that, but there was more to it for his actual website. Do you have that?
FloridaSeeds.myshopify.com.
How do you spell Shopify?
MySHOPIFY.
Shopify. Okay, my Shopify. He does have some really cool stuff. And we had a fun conversation, and he's a Jersey boy. So there you go. All right. So what have I been doing? Working. The kitchen is 100% done. I started working on the bedroom yesterday. The last room that needs to be done, still need to do the hallway, but Yesterday was not a day to be working outside, so I tackled that. I worked for a few hours and then decided I needed to finish my book. So was not a really big gardening day, but all week I got a lot done. I did get a lot done. Really got the greenhouse cleaned up, moved things around, opened up an area to put my heat mats down, which I did. Got them out, got them cleaned up, put them in a good spot where, you know, they have access to electric so I can plug them in. And I started some seeds. Had a really interesting experience using strawberry containers. Hey, Jared.
Yes.
You know that strawberries come in those clear plastic containers now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With they have a little lid that snaps
the snap
down.
Lid, yep.
Well, strawberry containers, I think, are my new favorite thing to start seeds in.
Oh, really?
Well, yes, as opposed to a lot of other things, for several reasons. The strawberry containers have holes on the bottom and holes on top. So I put a paper towel in the bottom and then filled them 3/4 of the way up, which was plenty of depth,
right?
With a good seed starting potting soil. And then the lid comes down and creates humidity, but it has air circulation through the holes in the top. So it's not – if you have too much humidity, then things rot. But especially in a home where you have the heat on and the air is dry.
That time of year.
Yes. Yes. So the air dries out very quickly. So the strawberry containers have a nice domed top as opposed to some – plastic containers you get at the supermarket have a flat top that snaps in. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah.
Well, the strawberries have a domed top with air slits in it. So it gives room for the plants to grow a little bit. Once they get big enough to actually touch the top of the lid, you can just leave them open because by then they'll have been better established and the humidity won't be as critical to getting the seed started. It's not as critical as that. So you can leave it open if it gets too big. But at that point, you would probably be transplanting them out of the little plastic containers anyway. But I think that they are awesome. You can write with a magic marker right on the plastic container. So that becomes a label that you can actually see. And it's recycling. It's great. I'm really pleased. I don't have enough to start every – I don't have enough strawberry containers to start. But I will next year. I promise you I will next year. So I did use for some of the broccoli, grew two kinds of broccoli seed. So some of the broccoli and the stevia I did in an 18-count paper egg carton. I'm going to try that. Usually I prefer to use the styrofoam egg cartons because they don't decompose. They hold up. But I read someplace, and this is kind of interesting, that when you use the paper ones, you can cut them apart and plant them right in the ground.
Oh.
Because they are disintegrating. And so you can plant them right in the ground and not have to disturb the roots. So I thought that was worth a try. So I'm going to I have some of those going. And we'll see how it goes. And after I get my peas planted this week, that's when I'm going to start all my tomato seeds. And I have many, many tomato seeds. All right. Right now, where are we going? Parlin, is that the
That's right. Yep.
Okay. We're going to go to Parlin and have a chat with Allison. So good morning, Allison. How are you?
I got in from New Mexico last night.
Welcome home. And yes.
Thanks. And the last time we talked, I asked you what kind of seeds to get for the giant sunflowers.
Yes.
So I contacted a friend of mine in Roswell, and she happened to have the seeds. I told her what I was looking for, so I have the seeds, and I'm ready to plant them. And, you know, what you were just talking about with the paper things, I've seen where you can take, people take the toilet paper rolls, the cardboard, and they'll cut it so that there's four tabs and you just fold them in, and then that way you can put your soil in. And I never knew if you're supposed to, like you said, cut them apart, or can you just unfold the bottom and put them down into the soil, and would they decompose, and that way you're not messing with the roots? And do I plant them there, or do I just put the seeds in the ground
with,
for a sunflower?
With sunflowers, you should direct seed.
Okay.
They don't...
How far...
They are not the best at transplanting. I mean, you can do it, but they do very, very well by direct seeding. So I wouldn't I wouldn't mess with them trying to get them started inside since it's so easy to start them outside.
Well, is now the time to plant them or is
no,
it later?
It's too, well, maybe in New Mexico. it's you know, there's snow on the ground here. Because you're going to start from seed outside, you can probably start a little sooner than you have to worry about, you know, frost. But I wouldn't start them much sooner than like May 1st.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So you have a little time.
Okay. So get them, get the dirt ready. And
yeah, definitely.
So May 1st, you just poke the hole in the ground and put them down about 2 inches?
Well, that's a little deep. As a rule of thumb, twice as deep as the seed is wide.
Oh, okay.
So I would say, you know, sunflower seeds are bigger than a lot of other seeds. So, I would say about an inch. Most of the time, you just barely cover them. You know, like I did broccoli and cauliflower seeds, and those are really tiny. And so I just laid them on the surface, and then I took a stick and just kind of tapped them all in the ground lightly and then spread the soil over the top and then watered them in. So just you know, barely pushed them in. One of the disadvantages of that is that, of course, they're so close to the surface that they're going to dry out very quickly. But with the sunflower seeds, you go down deeper. So not quite as critical. They're not going to dry up right away. But remember that you do need to keep them moist.
Okay. So you have to water them pretty regular.
Yeah, until they get going. Yep. And then after that, they, you know, you
the
taper
root
off. Yeah, but sunflowers are pretty easy. I have a half oak tub that I bought last year that I had every intention of putting sunflowers in. It's on a really enormous tree trunk that is right up against the concrete wall, and above the concrete wall is a chain link fence, all owned by the people who live next door, the bus company who operates
with big
next
buildings.
Door. And there's no way I could get that tree trunk out. It's huge, and it's shaped funny because it's flat on the one side where it grew up against the concrete wall. So it's really big. It's probably close to 3 feet across.
And, oh, my, that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And
Have you thought about getting a chainsaw carver in there?
Well, no, it's, you know, we cut it fairly close to the ground. So, you know, it's, but what I wanted to do was I put a big one of those half oak cask kinds of things on it.
Those are
nice. And I wanted to plant sunflowers in it to kind of block the chain link fence. And I had it there and I just never got it. Was going to take a lot of soil to do that. And I just never got around to lugging the soil over there until the fall when I did plant mums in it. I finally, you know, things were a little slower in the fall and I got mums in it. So that is ready to go. And I'm going to plant some giant sunflowers in that. So I think now it's already full of soil, so I just have to yank out the mums and I will
that'll
plant them
nice.
In there. Yeah, I think that'll be fun. I have a couple other spots I want to put some sunflowers in too, but that's the main one. And it should become a focal point. Instead of looking at the chain link fence, you look at the sunflowers. So
the Maximilians are neat because they cover everything.
Yes.
And then they take care. Once you get them in, they take care of themselves, and
yes.
They double. And
yes, I have to go and cut mine back. They were pretty dramatic last year, considering it was their first year, and they did really well. But I need to get in there. That's one of the things I have to cut them back, and some of the cannas that are laying down on the ground. I need to get in there and cut that stuff back.
Are the cannas coming up?
Well, not yet, but they will. You know, they're right up against the greenhouse, and it's nice and warm there, relatively speaking, and it's also protected from the wind. So they'll definitely come up there. And then they're also along the southeast side of the house.
Nice.
And they generally come up without a problem. Last year was kind of interesting because we had replaced a big, ugly window. It was just a plain, you know, rectangular window, and it had no character. And we replaced it with a And we did all the construction. We replaced it with a really nice bay window. And so when you're sitting at the dining room table, you can look out this beautiful bay window. And the guys were so cute. I had really wanted to have a raised seam metal roof. That's what I really wanted. That cost about four times the price of a regular plain old roof. And we couldn't afford it. And so I was a little bummed. I really wanted a white metal roof. That's what I wanted. So didn't get that. But the guys had done a white metal roof for somebody else, and they saved the scrap. And they gave me on the bay window a white metal roof on the bay window.
Just a little
touch of it, but it was really very sweet and thoughtful of them to do that. But unfortunately, in order to do all that, they had ladders and tools and guys and so under that window, no cannas came up because they had gotten smushed. So they came up like sporadically, like a little bit here and a little bit there. So I'm hoping that they will have recovered this year. But on beyond the window, on the whole rest of the side of the house, they came up just fine. So I have found cannas to be pretty reliable in terms of coming back as long as they're in a very protected spot.
They're hardy.
Well, yeah, but if you put them in the middle of the backyard, in the bed someplace in the middle where they're exposed to wind from all sides, Not so hardy. And I think that the house leaks heat. When I had them on the farm for many years, and they came back for many years, you could always tell when the cannas were starting to come up because the first green shoots would be like green fingers that were growing at almost that looked like they were attached to the foundation. Because they would come up right smack along the foundation wall and go straight up because that's where the heat was. The heat would be. So that is an important factor in trying to have cannas come back from one year to the next, is to have them really protected and up again. And the greenhouse, of course, it always leaks a little heat. And so that's why they come up fine next to the greenhouse, too.
Well, that's good that they have that survival instinct to head towards the heat.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, plants do amazing things, but we know that. So is there anything else I can do for you today?
No, other than how to keep I have a rogue flock of bantam chickens that goes out the driveway and wants to go to the neighbor's house and get in trouble in the flower bed. We have to have a breaking cage where we can put them in and they can't get out and keep them there for a month and see if we can train them not to go back to the neighbor's house.
That's not going to be easy to do. I have a chicken that lives in my greenhouse now.
She
lives in a cage in the greenhouse. But whenever I'm out in the greenhouse, whenever I'm out taking care of the chickens, both situations. I take her out of her cage and I put her right outside the greenhouse. Actually, I put her in the vegetable garden so she can't get away. And she's so she gets to go out. She was badly injured and so she needed a little bit of time to recover. She has a bad leg, so she can't escape she walks listing to one side. So the rooster takes advantage of her.
Yes. And so that will happen.
That will happen. And so she was bloody. So she's been living in the greenhouse for several months now. Her feathers have all grown back in. She looks beautiful. She gives me a green egg every day now that the days have gotten longer. I get one green egg every day from her.
Wow.
But the really fun thing is she loves me. She loves me. She used to try to run away or hide or squawk when I would. She just lets. I can pick her up wherever she is. She doesn't try to want to run away. She doesn't flap her wings. She just lets me pick her up. It's gotten so that the cat can sit on the cage and she doesn't care.
goodness. She knows you're a good person and you care about her.
And so she's become, you know, one of my pets. I mean, I love all my chickens. They're fun. I really enjoy them, but. They're not particularly affectionate. They're sweet and they're fun and I enjoy them and they get very happy when they see me. But this one actually snuggles me a little bit, which is kind of sweet. So,
that's good.
Yes. So,
and she'll eat bugs. Any bugs that come into her little cage there in the greenhouse, she'll eat.
Yes. And I put her in the veggie garden and she's eating, you know, all kinds of good stuff out there. So, it's all good. So she's my buddy. All right, Allison, we have to go. We are just about at the top of the hour, so you have a great week. How long are you going to be around?
About a week. Right, maybe a week and a half. Well, I don't know. What day is it? Oh, 2 weeks. I'll be here 2 weeks.
All
anyway.
Right, so maybe we'll hear from you next week.
There you go.
All right, you have a good week. Enjoy your trip. All right, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, what about poor Jack?
He's going to call back in 905.
Okay, that'll be good. All right, and let me give the phone number, 545-9282, outside the 732 area code. It's 1-888-545-9282, and we'll be back after this.